down, it'll spill onto the laptop, so I'm not going to. We'll have the Pepsi effect. So I'd like to, I'm going to attempt to say this, Chica? Is that correct? That's thank you in Czech. I didn't say, I probably said something wrong. I apologize. So I'm going to present some work on language ID using a combination of an articulatory-based approach and prosody-based modeling. This work was done by two of my staff members, Brigitte Sanjuan and Manush, who will be presenting a little bit later today. The work we're focused on is to develop a closed-set language ID task. The approach that we're using is a phonological feature-based scheme. We've used this for a number of applications in accent classification as well as dialect ID. And here we're going to be using this for language ID. And the main aspect or advancement here is to combine some prosody and articulatory-based structure. Our evaluations, we're going to benchmark the performance against a parallel phone bank recognizer with language model, PPRLM, using a closed set corpus of five Indian languages from the southern portion of India. So, what is the motivation for using articulatory-based features? Well, languages, accents, and dialects, they have different dominant articulatory traits, and we believe that emphasizing these components will help improve language ID, as opposed to just a brute force statistical-based approach. Some of these traits, for example, we could look at nasalization of vowels, rounded vowels, lack of retroflex-type phonemes, lack of consonant-consonant-type clusters. If you're looking, for example, at diphthongs, languages like Danish may have 75 to 100 diphthongs, whereas languages like Japanese have no diphthongs. So the presence or absence of some of these traits would be useful to see in the articulatory domain. In addition to this, automatically learning these articulatory traits will allow us to kind of hopefully build a model that will contribute to improved language classification. So this slide is a little busy, but it's key for the proposed system. So we kind of start off first by extracting our phonological feature. So this is a time frequency representation here. We pull off time versus a phonological feature representation. We tend to use government phonology-based approaches or partitioning. Each of these blocks here represents a different articulatory type trait, like lip rounding, tongue high, tongue low, and forward or backwards. In addition to that, this approach, or the phonological feature extraction scheme, is a traditional HMM-based approach trained on switchboard corpus. And so that's the first step here. The bottom two, I don't have a pointer here. For steps 4 and 5 and 2 and 3, 4 and 5 is basically the phonological feature, language feature extraction, and 2 and 3 are basically the prosodic feature extraction phase. So when we look at the prosodic feature phase, we're analyzing consonant vowel and vowel consonant clusters. This is all done in an unsupervised manner, so we don't know what the phone sequence is, of course. And so we break up the sequence into pseudo-syllables, consonant vowel, vowel consonant type clusters. And after that, we extract prosody-based traits, and this includes both pitch contours and energy contours at a pseudo-syllable level. On the phonological state, over on this side, we end up extracting the static language features at the frame level, and so that's what's done here in step 4. This gives us a static snapshot of the phonological feature values at a different, at a particular given time, and each static feature is also augmented in a unigram, bigram, and trigram type representation, so we have an expanded language feature set. So that's at the static side. On the dynamic side, at step 5, we extract features along time and phonological feature. So if you look at, I'm not getting a nice pointer here, you can see here we have phonological features going this way, time going this way. So this plot kind of shows movement along the phonological feature and then across time. And so this movement here kind of shows a pattern where we have movement for the articulatory or the phonological features as well as movement across time. So this gives a new feature that generates a change for every phonological feature change. So I'll show you that in the next slide here. So in essence, the long bars here represent phonological feature values across time, and each of the dots that you see in here, they represent a change in the values, much like a derivative, but at the phonological feature stage. So here we can kind of show some examples of what this might look like for articulatory-inspired language features. We can see static-type combinations of phonological features, so that would be the combination of all of these here. We might see dynamic changes, so in here you see the movement from this stage to here. We have one phonological feature turning off and two turning on, so we can look at this transition. And we also have the absence of phonological features, that might represent the combination here, which may be an indication of a particular language trait that is unique to this language, let's say. In addition to that, we can also look at a static feature. So the static combinations of features, you look across the phonological feature type for a particular time block here. And what we do is we tend to skip. We only need to get a snapshot here. And if you look, we'll skip the next one because it's the same. So we're just capturing the individual static phonological feature vectors that are unique to that setup there. So an example might be for a particular language feature or vowel that might be front and very high for the particular tongue. Position, and this gives you a static representation for tongue frontness and height. Okay, these are also augmented with a unigram, bigram, and trigram type combinations for the static language features that we're using. And because of that, they'll allow us to have some type of allophonic type variations that can be captured into the language model. In addition to that, we can look at the extracting the dynamic features here, and in this context, we're obviously also looking at transitions where you have movement. So when things are static, you don't change, and when there's a movement here, you kind of identify those parts. So we're looking at those value pairs when a phonological feature changes, and we skip things that are not changing over time. So an example would be like a language feature that would be a place moving from a velar to a labial type position, and that would show you a movement of an articulatory pattern. Again, unigram, bigram, and trigram type language model combinations of the dynamic language features are incorporated at this phase as well. We use a maximum entropy classification framework. Again, I said it's a closed set of languages, five languages we're working with. We extract the evidence from these language features represented here, and we find the maximum entropy classifier for the particular language. And the language features themselves could be articulatory, prosodic, or a combination of those. And the prosodic cases would be energy and pitch, so we'll look at those at this phase. So the prosody-based language features, the motivation here, we do know that perception of languages by humans show that prosody is an important factor there. We extract the language features from pitch and energy contours. The extraction strategy uses the RAPT algorithm for pitch information. And we normalize the pitch value for the mean, so we remove some of the speaker dependency there. The contours themselves are broken up, as I mentioned, in pseudo-syllable form. And that's done using the phonological feature-based parsing scheme. And log pitch and log energy contours are then approximated using a Lagrange polynomial basis, and then those coefficients are used in a GMM-based classifier for the language. So these are the Lagrange polynomials that are used, and they vary between minus 1 and plus 1, so we get different shapes here, and we approximate the contours for the energy and pitch using these polynomials, and we have three of them here that are used. So the prosody-based language features are set up this way. The coefficients themselves are used to train the GMMs. The GMMs are just the cluster centroids for the code book for those particular prosody components. The vectors themselves form the language features that we're going to be working with. And again, unigram, bigram, trigram language models for the code book entries are used. For the evaluation, we used five languages spoken in India. These are southern Indian languages, 100 speakers per language, 75 hours of speech per language. There's 90 hours of spontaneous speech. This work is focused on the red speech. Marathi, Kannada, Telugu, and Tamil are these four, and then Malayalam on the southern port here is the fifth one. So the Marathi is the one that belongs to the Indo-Aryan type languages. The other four, Kannada, Telugu, Tamil, and Malayalam, are Dravidian languages. So we are benchmarking this approach against a parallel bank phone recognizer with a language model. We wanted to see what the performance would be, so we collaborated or partnered, I guess, with BUT, and we're using BUT's phone recognition setup. So in their first set of phone recognizers from BUT, we used German, Hindi, Japanese, Mandarin, and the Spanish set. And the second set was English, Czech, Hungarian, and Russian. So we wanted to see if we left out any Indian-type languages, whether that would actually make a difference here. So these are some of the results for the articulatory-based language features evaluated on the red speech. And we can see using just the static features themselves, a 59% language ID case here. Marathi is the one that actually scores the best, and there's most confusion between Kannada and Telugu. If you focus just on the dynamic language features, again, we have significant improvement, at least in the Telugu ID. Kannada is still the same, and some improvement on the Marathi. So the dynamic features increases to 71.9%. If you combine the static and dynamic language features, it goes to 74%. Okay. Next, we looked at incorporating or considering the prosody-based language features. This included pitch, energy, and the combinations of pitch and energy contours. Of course, prosody by itself is not an overriding factor that you can build a language ID system, but if you augment that with spectral-based structure, you can improve things. So again, chance here, it's a five-way classification, so 20% chance, so you can see that there is some improvement by combining both pitch and energy-based contours using the Lagrange polynomial-type modeling scheme, 47% classification performance. Next, we combine the phonological feature and prosodic-based setups. Performance actually increases to 79.5% using this combination. And using the PPRLM, gave us 82.2%. Some other experiment, we had another one at 82.7%. And so we're still getting better performance with the PPRLM versus the phonological feature and prosodic-based structure. We did do some additional experiments of extracting the prosodic-based pieces into the PPRLM to see if that would improve performance. And so these are the final results. Using static language features from the parallel using static language features from the phonological feature-based scheme, 59%. Using dynamic language features, double the number of feature set size here to 7,000, 71%. And the combination of static and dynamic, we get up to 74%. Using prosodic type structure, you can see you don't get much improvement there, but if you can combine pitch and energy contour information, it improves. And the combination of phonological and prosodic-based schemes give you 75%. The PPRLM gave us more improvement, but if you do a system fusion for that, you get a 4% increase absolute in language ID for those five languages. So it does show some improvement incorporating the phonological feature and the prosody-based structure here. So in conclusion, we presented a new framework for using articulatory and prosodic information for language identification. We developed a new methodology for extracting language features from phonological representations. The language features themselves are automatically learned from a maximum entropy-based techniques. The combination of prosodic and articulatory type information was shown to be useful for improved language ID. And the proposed system showed some further improvements when combined with a PPRLM type system. In the future, we're going to expand this to study some new languages and also consider performance on the spontaneous speech. We've seen some changes in our in production type traits for their spontaneous speech. And there are some references from the paper. Thank you.
Thank you, speaker. Time for questions.
Thank you. I think you're probably yourself choosing that question. I think
We agree because we actually ran, we've run the same types of experiments in the same five Arabic corpus for dialect ID. And so you can clearly see that the four very confusable South Indian languages, it's much more challenging. We've seen some differences when we look at accent structure in previous InterSpeech and ICAST papers, and that's why we think if we can look at languages that are particularly close together, we somehow think that the subtle differences that you might see on these languages may come out a little bit more in the articulatory type patterns. When you look at the larger statistical based schemes like PPRLM approaches, I think somehow if there aren't big differences between the languages, I think it's maybe a little bit more difficult to kind of weed those things out. Sometimes if there's channel or microphone mismatch, like what Fred had talked about using NAP, sometimes that tends to dominate the differences between the sets. So unless they're collected in all the same way, you can't be sure of that. So I do agree. We try to make the task more challenging. We are participating in the LRE this year, so we hope that this might come to fruition a little bit better when the pairs are wider.
More questions? So I have one on the corpus you're using is not publicly available or standard. Okay. Can you say a bit more how it's recorded?
How it was recorded?
I mean, did all the speakers from the different regions go to a common place, or was there a moving thing that went around each place?
It was actually recorded in India on the streets and in each of the different regions. So people were recorded in kind of a quiet area when they were reading, and then they were in more public settings when they were in spontaneous mode. So we have spontaneous and we have more of the noisy version of that. So.
But they set it up in each region? They went to each region?
They went to each region, yeah.
Do you think that has any split? I mean, if all the speakers from one language were done on this street, yeah, and all the speakers from another were done on another street?
So we have information on, we've also run listener tests on this when we were looking. So we had a paper on this on dialect ID, but we were very careful because these are languages and not dialects. But we have run listener tests where we had listeners that were a polylingual. They spoke either two or three of the five languages to see if they could assess the differences. And we had some of those results in the previous InterSpeech conference. But yes, there are some differences. I think what you're asking is whether they were all recorded in consistent space. So the recording setup was the same, but they were recorded in different region locations. Okay.
Any further questions?
Joe.
Thanks.
Oh, Joe is.
Yep, Joe.
So you mentioned using Red Speech. Have you done any?
Yeah, well, we clearly have seen when we look at accent and dialect on red speech, you don't get as good performance. We've actually seen that tremendously on accent. You don't get much information on accent sensitive material from red speech. The spontaneous is really what you have to focus on, and so we've done this primarily because we could get the results a little bit faster on the red speech. We are running experiments right now on the spontaneous part. We just didn't have them ready in time to get them into this particular paper, so we do know it. Yes.
All right, let's thank the speaker again.